in the living room, I, of course, you know, nothing in the house is original, but the court records tell us a few things, and one of them is a piano in the corner here in the living room. We can move in there.
One thing, Kim Busby, one of the producers of the movie and an actress in it, was talking about some cold spots in the house where she felt a little unusual, she couldn't pick clearly.
Many people feel that the little area in front of the pantry there is a portal. And the portal, you know, is where the Native American feels that the spirit comes from one side to the other. And there are some weird things that happen in the portal at times. I've seen people have red marks on them. A pretty famous photo of a little gal standing there, and she's got a heart on her chest. And when she went out the door, well, the heart disappeared. But they have it in some photos. And every now and then somebody will have a hand mark on their arm, and they had felt something, and they go out. As soon as they go outdoors, well, it's gone. So that's one of the oddities in the house. The piano was mentioned in the court record. One of the things was there was a part of a side of bacon left on the piano. And also in the blue room, there was the rest of the piece of bacon was laying in there on the floor. And there was a lot of speculation about the bacon and why it was why it would be there. And I think the most logical thing is, I think the biggest fear that a criminal had back then was getting tracked down by bloodhounds. And I think they took the bacon, and I think they rubbed it on their feet and their pant legs, thinking it would be for the hounds. And I guess that wasn't uncommon back then. People would use, like, bacon and that they thought would, you know, change their scent or something.
Sure.
Very few photos in the house, but there is one from out in this area out here. And it shines into the blue room, and it shows they took a photo of the axe sitting against the wall. A little controversy whether that was where it was found for sure, whether they just set it there to take a picture of it, but for sure it was found in that room. Now, we call that the blue room because that's what Bernadine said it was, and of course that was Sarah Moore's sewing room, and that was their overnight guest bedroom.
And is this where the two
Stillinger girls were there? Huh. And again, the court records come into play. The sewing machine was sitting in front of the window there, and that window was unlocked. But there was so much paraphernalia in the sewing machine, nobody came and left by that window. There's her, you know, it was just no breaking and entering. JB's wallet, watch, and money was sitting on the kitchen table undisturbed. The only thing they took from this house that night was these people's lives. Now we can slip around and go upstairs if you want to.
Looks like one at a time, huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting, the smell in an old house. It smells like, it makes me remember my grandmother's house.
Yeah, that's what most everybody says. It's got a, but then, well, anyway, this is where Sir and J.B. was. Now, J.B. was killed with the sharp edge of the axe. Without a doubt, one blow killed him first. I mean, there is a photo in this room of a man standing beside the bed, and he's holding an axe, and there's a fellow laying in the bed, but there's X's on the wall up there on the ceiling, and it's to show where the backswing of the axe chipped the plaster out of the ceiling. And I thought it looked kind of phony, and I didn't think too much of it. And then a letter emerged, a man from Leavenworth, Kansas, who came by train to pick up finger marks from a penitentiary. When he got off the train and announced what he was here for, he was a little deaf and talked a little different. I think they thought he was some sort of a nut, because 1912 fingerprinting was so new and so unheard of. See, it wasn't common till in the 20s, you know. So he never did get a chance to pick up a finger mark. But when he came in the house, he did in great detail the angles of the axe marks, proved the killer to be left-handed. Didn't eliminate too many people, because Kelly and Mansfield, there was quite a few of them that were left-handed. I mean, the ironic one out of 500. You know, anyway, I go on the theory the people have that the killers came in while they were at the Bible school program that Sunday evening, and they hid back in here. And this is a little closet that ends up going over the kitchen, and you can see, you know, if they went back in there and shut that door, there probably wouldn't have been much of a chance anybody would have checked, you know.
Yeah, what is that room back there?
It's just a
storage?
Just a storeroom, yeah.
Okay.
And it always has been just a storeroom. It was never...
Do you think there was more than one person on it?
Oh, I definitely think there were three people involved in the killings.
Okay.
And that's quite contrary to why, but they only tried one person, you know, so. I just can't not get fixed in my mind that one person in the pitch dark could go through this house and strike a perfect blow on eight people above the chin, you know, and without a light or somebody holding
a
light.
And alarming some other people.
Yeah, and alarming, that sort of thing, you bet. And I think one of the things that, probably confuses it quite a bit, I they were all found laying straight in their bed, almost as if prepared for a funeral. And the cloth over their faces was not stuck to the wound, so it was, somebody did this quite some time after they were killed. And so there's lots of theories, but I think maybe the Reverend Kelly came later on and did this. But this is the bedroom here to the where the four more children were. And again, the axe marks were in here. There were some in here that if you put a plumb line on them, they didn't go towards the bed. They went like straight down. And anyway, kind of told the man from Leavenworth that maybe the children were not all killed in bed, you know.
And killed somewhere else and moved here.
Yeah, killed in the middle of the floor or something and then laid back in bed. See, so the Pinkerton people, they felt that everybody was killed in their sleep and nobody knew what hit them because that's the way they found them, laying straight in bed and all that. But now the Harris family, Bob told me, his grandmother told him that this room was a total mess. There was brain matter, bone, and stuff all over the floor in here. So, I mean, it wasn't just a tap on the head in the bed. You know, I mean, it was a very gruesome thing.
Well, from what I understand, you're able to rent this out on weekends, is that right? And that you're making kind of not really a B&B out of it, but...
Well, it's a long way from a bed and breakfast because no breakfast, no beds, you know. But they can lease the house for a night, and it's become a very popular thing. And I had no idea that something like this would even happen, you know. I mean, and I tell you, it all started with a radio talk man, and you probably know him, the round guy on KGGO.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the very first person to stay all night in the house.
Okay.
On a Halloween, on a dare, kind of. And since then, well, it just kept multiplying and growing in popularity. And now we have it probably every weekend. We do till into August.
So you bring your sleeping bags then? You don't
stay
on one
you
of the beds?
Bet. No, you bring your sleeping bags. You bring your own food. You don't. We give you a tour of the house, a little tour of the history of it, and you actually lease it, and we leave you, and it's yours for the night.
And some people don't make it through the night.
Well, there's been quite a few that have left, but there's been more stay than leave, though, by far.
Do the bathroom facilities work? I mean, is it...
Okay, the house, we took everything out. We took the electricity, the bathrooms, and all that. But we did put the barn up, which is a little ways from the house, and we do have a bathroom in there.
Okay.
And there is electricity in there and that sort of thing, so... You can go into the modern conveniences for a little while and then come back into the house.
What's the attraction? Why do people want to stay a night here?
I think for the maybe the thought that they might touch something of the unknown, you know. That and they might get somebody to cross over and touch them or communicate with them or speak to them. I can't say it has or it hasn't, you know. But because I'll guarantee you when... the first paranormal investigator came and wanted to investigate the house. I asked my wife, what the heck's a paranormal investigator? You know, so that's how much I knew about it.
You have spent a lot of time in here. You know the stories. Have you encountered, do you have some thoughts about what may or may not be here?
Well, I've seen some pretty weird things, and some of it is with the toys. They get moved around, and there's no reason for the toys to move one way or another, you know. And real small children. It's just amazes me what small children that you can't prompt to do things, and the things that they do and how they communicate with somebody that's not there, like play with another child or raise the covers up on the bed and play peekaboo with somebody that's not under the bed. And that kind of makes the hair stand up in the back of my head. But, I haven't been kicked and my hair hasn't been pulled and I haven't been kissed, but there's a lot of people that have, you know. And what's kind of neat, the people who come are just, they're just ordinary people. You know, they're not, they're just out for something different.